Good evening, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Yes, we're not in a suit. We have very limited court appearances this week because it's near the end of the year. Now, what do we have going on this evening? As I was getting ready to do my Tuesday night after dark show prep, what happened? Literally 15 minutes before we started. Some breaking news, perhaps? That's right. The Crime Talk official breaking news sound right there. What happened? Mark Means has been disqualified from representing Lori Vallow. You heard it here first. This is literally news. It's only about 16 minutes old because we got it about 15 minutes ago. And it just shows you that we tried to bring you the most up-to-date news as it relates to ongoing criminal cases and true crime cases as it happens. And I'm telling you, how many times has something dropped literally minutes before we go on the air on our Tuesday night show? Yes, that's right. Mark Means has been disqualified. And you may ask yourselves, why, Scott? Because you raised this issue over a year ago. Frank, can you cue up that video and play the video where I said Mark Means should be disqualified a year ago, at least over a year, almost 2 years ago, right? Almost 2 years ago. Yours truly said there should not be a Mark Means on this case. I think he has a conflict of interest. Let me know when you're ready to roll that video, Frank.
The amount of resources that can be saved in order to allow that to happen, and given that I represent her husband, Chad Daybell, in the event that there's an issue there.
Mr. Means, have you ever represented any of the alleged co-conspirators that are set forth in the criminal complaint?
No, Your Honor, other than Mrs. Daybell.
Well, there you have it. We've had that one queued up. We've had that one for a while because when it happened, I was like, did I just hear that right? Particularly when he made the representation to the court that he had not had represented any of the alleged co-conspirators, i.e. Chad Daybell. So let me read part of this order, and I apologize for having to read it, but it was sent and we tried to print it out and it's a little fuzzy. And I don't have all of it. Basically, I'll just read it to you from what I have so you don't think I'm making this stuff up. We don't make stuff up. At the outset, this court has considered and reviewed the finding of facts entered by the magistrate on July 31st of 2020 in case CR 22-20-838 and determined those findings to be accurate, as those findings were made in a sealed document and the court having found that good cause exists to disseminate portions of that document in consideration of this decisions, the magistrate's findings are included herein verbatim. 1. Lori and Chad were married on November 5th, 2019. At the time of their marriage, Lori Vallow had two minor children, Joshua J.J. Vallow and Tylee Ryan. On February 20th, 2020, Lori was arrested in Hawaii with two counts of felony desertion of a child, as well as a misdemeanor charge of resisting, obstructing an officer, solicitation of a crime, and contempt of court under Madison County jurisdiction. Rexburg law enforcement took Lori into custody on March 4th of 2020. Lori retained Mark Means, exact date unknown. The court continues, on March 21st, 2020, Chad retained Mr. Pryor, who works in the same building complex as Mr. Means. That's an office sharing situation. That is not uncommon for professionals to do that, particularly if you're a solo one-man show. You lease space and you get the appearance of a much bigger office, so to speak, without having to cover all the overhead yourself. Then on March 24, 2020, according to Mr. Pryor, on March 31st, 2020, according to a document submitted, Lori and Chad signed a conflict of interest waiver. Now, we'll talk about that in a second. It says, on April 28, 2020, Mr. Means posted the following on Twitter. Please note that this office, notice being provided by other means as well, represents Mr. Chad Daybell. If an agency, investigative authority, etc., wishes to contact my client, please contact my office directly. On April 28th, 2020, Mr. Means sent a press release stating the following. Please take notice that this office represents Mr. Chad Daybell. Please direct all requests for communications/statements of the like to this office. On April 28th, 2020, Lori and Chad had a visit via telephone/tablet in the Madison County Jail. During this conversation, Chad stated, Mark Means is my attorney. Chad alluded he had shared confidential information with Mr. Means that Chad believed would be covered by attorney-client privilege. The video recording also suggests that Chad believed he would not have to testify against Lori if Mr. Means represented them both. On May 2nd, Mr. Means told the court during a bail reduction hearing in Madison County for Lori that he represented both Lori and Chad. On June 9th, 2020, a search warrant was executed on Chad's property. During the search, Chad called Mr. Means before calling Mr. Pryor. Based on the finding from the search warrant on June 10th of 2020, Chad was charged with two counts of felony destruction, alteration, or concealment of evidence under Idaho Code 18-2603. These charges were amended on June 30th, 2020, include two felony counts of conspiracy to destroy, alter, and conceal evidence. Lori was listed in the criminal complaint as a co-conspirator. Lori was charged with two felony counts of conspiracy to destroy, alter, or conceal evidence. On June 29th, Chad was listed in the criminal complaint as a co-conspirator. This court has made additional inquiries and reviewed facts set forth in the record in this case since the time of the magistrate's finding, and therefore, in addition to the magistrate's findings, considers the following. On February 20th, Vallow was arrested and charged with two counts of felony desertion of child misdemeanor. Vallow was represented by blah, 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 blah. Let's get on to the good stuff. Where was it? Basically, the court finds that there is a conflict of interest that is not waivable. It says, finally, the very actions taken by Mr. Mean raise questions about his ability to continue his representations of Vallow. A conflict analysis is an analysis of whether the decision of counsel demonstrates their ability to uphold their duties to clients, past and present. Mr. Means has potentially made himself a witness in the case by filing multiple pleadings in the form of declarations containing factual assertions of Mr. Means submitted under penalty of perjury. That unusual manner of practice has further caused the court to be concerned about the effectiveness of Mr. Means' representations of Vallow in this case. Interesting. Also of concern is a possible intentional or unintentional waiver of Vallow's attorney-client privilege where Mr. Means has submitted to the record purported facts from statements Vallow made to Mr. Means under the umbrella of the privilege she enjoys while she has been deemed incompetent to proceed. This is precisely the situation that ethics rules caution against, and the rules stress that lawyers should avoid becoming witnesses in their clients' cases. That's right. If you can't be the lawyer and a witness at the same time. That's why you take investigators. You almost do nothing without a witness in a criminal case. Unbelievable. I mean, we'll continue on and then we'll talk about it. It's unbelievable. The court finds an actual conflict exists in this case due to Mr. Means' former representation of Daybell and the timing of that representation, and Daybell's waiver is insufficient to overcome the risk of harm in allowing Mr. Means to remain counsel to any party connected to this case. Additionally, Mr. Means' practice of submitting declarations under penalty of perjury have called into question his ability to competently and effectively represent Vallow going forward despite the pending stay in this case. Finally, the court is balancing the rights of Vallow to counsel of her choice and her present inability to be thoroughly examined to ascertain whether she could knowingly, intelligently, and meaningfully waive her rights to conflict-free qualified counsel given the potential for a penalty of death she faces in the crime she is charged with must cautiously act to protect her rights. On balance, because conflicts, questions should be addressed by all trial courts, blah, blah, blah. And then I don't have that following page because I haven't got the whole order yet. But that's the meat and potatoes of it. Conflict. Conflict, conflict, conflict. Frank, can you play that video one more time? And let me tell you why it's so important. Play the conflict. Dun, 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 breaking news. Dun, 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 right?
The amount of resources that can be saved in order to allow that to happen, and given that I represent her husband, Chad Daybell, in the event that there's an issue there.
Mr. Means, have you ever represented any of the alleged co-conspirators that are set forth in the criminal complaint?
No, Your Honor, other than Mrs. Daybell.
Remember when Mr. Wood kind of scratched, he kind of like, really? Am I hearing that correctly? Because I was doing the exact same thing at that point, because I remembered that court date where he basically said, I only represent Lori Vallow, when he stated previously that he had represented the husband as well. So what does that really, really mean? Well, like I said, for nearly 2 years now, yours truly has said this guy should not be on the case. And now he's off. And I feel a little vindicated because I got some heat from some people who said, Scott, why are you being so mean to Mark Means? He's obviously just doing his best for Lori Vallow. Why are you criticizing him so much? You're not criticizing Mr. Pryor. No, I hadn't. You haven't criticized Mr. Archibald, have you? No, I had not. Why? Because they weren't filing frivolous garbage motions that should never be filed in a criminal case. I don't know where he thinks he was coming from when he was filing this. I am starting, going in January, starting my 27th year as an attorney. I've never seen motions filed like that in a criminal case whatsoever, where he's filing declarations that this is true. And it just made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. And when the court says he's concerned based upon the filings, and I quote, this is not just Scott Reich being mean to Mark Means, because I don't think it was being mean. I mean, I think there was one time he said, yeah, he did something right. I think he waived the preliminary hearing. Good call. But when the court says that unusual manner of practice has further caused the court to be concerned about the effectiveness of Mr. Means' representation of Ms. Vallow in this case. And then the intentional or unintentional waiver of attorney-client communications has submitted to the record purported facts from statements Vallow made to Means under the umbrella of the attorney-client privilege, right? I hate to say it because I don't like hate saying I said it, but I'm going to say it. Told you so. I'm just a little surprised that it took so long. This literally was an issue that could have been resolved 2 years ago. 2 years ago when this case was originally getting going, and the court made a factual inquiry on the record. Mr. Means, have you ever represented any of the co-conspirators? No, just Miss Lori Vallow. So not only do we have a situation here, and remember, this is what happens when, you know, you start throwing the big E word around, and the big E word in the legal profession is ethics. When you start throwing the big E word around, saying the other side is being unethical, you know, which is what Mark Means did through the entire process of this case. You know, the prosecutors were mean to him. They were tampering with witnesses when they interviewed him. You name it. He was throwing the big E word around, unethical all around. And then it turns out he may have violated it. And guess what? I would not be surprised if Mark Means gets a grievance out of all of this. First, you have a duty of candor towards any tribunal in which you appear before the court. And clearly he made a material misrepresentation towards the court regarding his representations of Chad Daybell. That's a problem. Then you have the alleged purported release of these statements that he filed in these, you know, verified documents that he was filing under seal. There were just weird ramblings of information about representation, saying that other people had done all these unethical stuff. And I don't know. It was just a very, very bizarre. Some people said, "Yeah, Scott, I totally agree with you." Other people were of the mindset that, you know, "Scott, why are you being so mean to Mark Means? He's just, you know, he's zealously representing his client." Well, I'm glad it's just not me. And I'm not the only one who's saying, "Why is he filing these documents?" Even if some of this stuff were true, you save it for proceedings to be filed, you know, for cross-examination at a future date. You simply do not file this stuff. And then when the court says, "Mr. Means' practice of submitting declarations under penalty of perjury have called into question his ability to competently and effectively represent Vallo going forward, despite the pending stay in this case." Everything I've said, wasn't it? Everything I had said that I brought to you and said, "Hey, this is just not the way things are done in the practice of criminal law. I don't care where you are." I was just literally shocked every time he filed a motion. I mean, he filed a motion and I was like, "What the hell is he doing?" Hell, we even put up that meme about every time Mark Means files a motion, you know, big headache. But, you know, it was great entertainment and certainly provided a lot to discuss. So I am simply, I like to say that I'm vindicated, that all my concerns have finally come out and the court has dealt with them and they have agreed with my analysis just 2 years too late. 2 years. So we could have had, who knows, we could have moved this case along so much faster over the last 2 years. And this is probably the best thing for Lori Vallo. Obviously, the court, on its own motion, appointed Mr. Archibald, who is a death penalty qualified attorney, one of the few there in Eastern Idaho. And that's huge, obviously. Mark Means was not qualified. The court must have already had concerns up to that point, which, once again, those were concerns I had as well. When you have an attorney whose first real criminal case is a, you know, potential death penalty case, yeah, you don't do that. That's not the case you want to go practice on, learn on. And I said my advice to Mark Means would have simply been to sit down, shut up, and carry Mr. Archibald's briefcase. So I just think it's great. And for those who joined us a little late, I mean, this is great. Mark Means disqualified from representing Lori Vallo in any of her criminal matters because there is a conflict based upon the fact that he also represented Chad Daybell. And apparently Chad Daybell was under the impression that basically, you know, nobody could testify against him if they represent both people, which is completely wrong. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we're not talking about a civil case where everybody's all on the same side and you got companies and, you know, all the same people and they're all similarly situated. In a criminal case, it is unheard of for somebody to represent both parties. You just do not do it. I've seen it where people have tried to do it and they're like, "Well, judge, you know, we got a waiver through independent counsel and they were made aware that there's a potential conflict. And if a conflict arises at some point, I'll withdraw." Most judges are like, "Yeah, we're not doing that. We are not doing that. We are going to, not in my courtroom. Everybody's going to get separate counsel. And you, counsel that's qualified, that's probably received information, that was protected by either party, and you're not going to be on this case either. So that's where, you know, you just don't do it. I mean, I have people come in all the time. It's like, hey, you know, we've been charged, my buddy, my friend. Okay, I'm not going to talk to person over there, your buddy. I'll talk to you, and we'll get them an attorney, okay? Can't represent both people. And people are like, well, yeah, but won't it save money? Yeah, it doesn't work that way because the attorney has a duty and obligation only to represent, zealously represent their client, okay? And people don't, you know, they don't, what's the word I'm looking for? Some people just don't get that you can't just do that. I mean, you only get to represent one client because your oath to your client, your duty to your client is, hey, you don't care who else goes down because of this, who you got to basically, whatever is in the best interest of your client. And you can't, the old thing, you know, you can't represent two masters, that kind of thing. So yeah. Let's see here. It looks like we got another motion. Order authorizing disclosure of sealed information. This was in regards to the magistrate court's finding, and they said that it'd be a public interest prevails over prior order preventing them the dissemination of such information. You know, and all this was in, really in response to the motion filed by the district attorneys in this case, basically when I think they'd simply had enough of Mark Means and his games. And I hate to say it, but he was playing games. I don't know what the hell he was doing. He just, none of it made any sense. It was like he had never tried a serious criminal case in his life. That's right, because he hadn't. He hadn't. I said, and I'm not saying I told you so. I just like the fact that, what's the word I'm looking for? That, well, I was vindicated. I just wish that it hadn't taken 2 years. The case could have progressed. I mean, hell, if you look back now, had somebody said, hey, listen, tell me the truth here. What did you do? And, you know, you're charged with the original counts, the desertion of children, right? And then you're charged with destruction of evidence. Well, the question comes, why didn't you get in there and plead guilty, right? I think jeopardy would have attached. I mean, they knew about it, same set factual scenario. I think it would have tried to do that. They blew it. You know, that's not uncommon when, you know, they mischarge you, but it all comes out of the same set of circumstances. You know, you see a lot of classic stuff where, you know, they charge it as a misdemeanor, which should be a felony or what have you. You're like, ooh, let's get in there and do that right away. Yes, we plead guilty, open, no plea bargain, let's just do it today. I have a right to do so, I'm doing it. Because you have to be aware of what's going on. And, you know, it really makes you wonder. It also makes you wonder in this particular case if Pryor, who office shares with him, now wouldn't that, that's going to be an interesting situation in the, you know, little kitchenette there tomorrow when everybody's, you know, getting their bagels and donuts or their cup of coffee in the kitchenette. Hey, Mark, what's going on, John? Well, not much. Anything new going on? Oh, not much. The judge just called me incompetent and basically said I had an ethical conflict. How about you? Oh, not much. Just a normal thing. You know, defending this guy on this this whole case. You know, that. So, yeah. I mean, it's just a... Interesting situation. So it's, I love it. I love it. And the fact that Mr. Means, his own words come back and get him. What do they say? It's always your own words that come back and get you. That's why you got to choose your words very carefully. And he is saying that he represents Chad Day Bell. That's the kind of situation where you just seriously have to, I mean, we didn't know about this. This was all under seal, right? But if we had known about this earlier, I would have been jumping up and down even more, stating that Mark Means needs to be disqualified and removed from the case. It just took 2 years when he followed up. And when the court says, I'm telling you, oh my gosh. I mean, when the court says an actual conflict exists, in this case, due to Mr. Mean's former representation of Daybell, and the timing of that representation of Daybell's waiver is insufficient to overcome the risk of harm in allowing Mr. Mean to remain counsel to any party connected to this case. Additionally, Mr. Mean's practice of submitting declarations under penalty of perjury have called into question his ability to competently and effectively represent Vallow going forward, despite the pending stay in this case. I mean, seriously, the judge, Mr. Nice Guy, Judge Boyce, simply called into question his competency and effectiveness of being an attorney. That's not a good thing. I mean, that's going to sting a little bit. That's going to say, oh, look at this, hot off the presses. Look at that. Frank and Julie, the hardest working people in show business. Let's see what other little tidbits of information. All right. This is the introduction. Actually, this is a much cleaner copy. Should we put it under just so people are... All right, let's see if we can do this. We can't do a split screen, can we? Oh, see, Frank can do everything. See, this is why. Boy, this is like the best Christmas gift ever tonight, isn't it?
Yes.
Hold on, is this on? Do I need to turn this on?
Let me see. That's on.
It's on? Okay. Do I need the light on? All right, hold on, ladies and gentlemen. This is all the big buildup, the suspense. Just so you do not think that I am making any of this stuff up, right? We like to show you what's really going on here. Okay, hold on. Frank is working his magic. And we're going to be able to put up the entire...
Can Mark Mean still see Lori?
No. Well, I mean, unless they're friends. Good question, Julie. Okay. All right. Here we go. So here's the document. I think we must have a little smudge or something on the little thing here. Huh? Let me see if I can fix that. All right. Maybe a little better. Okay. So here we go. This was filed just this afternoon in the Judicial District of Fremont County by the deputy clerk today at 4:38 p.m. And the court states that on July 27th, the state of Idaho filed a motion objecting to the entry of Mr. Means as counsel for Lori Noreen Vallow and requests this court to conduct an inquiry as to whether Mr. Means has a non-waivable conflict to deny the entry of Mr. Means as counsel in this case, and to appoint capital counsel for Vallow. To support its motion, the state filed a memorandum including three exhibits and an excerpt of sealed filings of fact entered in case CR 2838. Afterwards, the court heard the parties in a closed hearing on September 8th, where the state submitted Exhibit 4, an audio file of April 28, 2020, recorded jail calls between Vallow and Daybell for an in-camera review. Thereafter, the court determined an inquiry was necessary to assist the court in determining the merits of the state's contentions that Mr. Mean's ability to adequately represent his clients were compromised due to the alleged conflict. As a result of the October 8, 2020 hearing, the court conducted an in-camera inquiry with Vallow's co-defendant, Chad Guy Daybell, to ascertain whether Mr. Means had ever represented Daybell such that all the purported representation rose to the level of an actual conflict and whether the conflict was waivable or non-waivable. That's interesting. Daybell is currently represented by attorney John Pryor, who was present with Daybell during the inquiry. Wow. I mean, the court asking the co-defendant to come on in. Jeez.
Having considered all of the submitted briefings in both Fremont County cases, and they list them, as well as the findings of fact and conclusions of law entered by the magistrate in the previous case where this issue previously arose, and having heard the parties in multiple hearings address the concerns raised by the state, the court orders now the following. This is what I went over previously, as the court requests considered the review of the findings of fact, and they talked about the timeline, the fact that that Mark Means had put on his website various information stating that he, in fact, represented Mark Means. Mark Means represented Chad Daybell. Excuse me. Then they made additional facts. On February 20th, 2020, Valla was arrested and charged with two counts of felony desertion of children, Tylene Ryan. Initially, Valla was represented by Sean Barthelick. However, Barthelick notified the state that in the event Valla was charged with a crime, he would not represent her. Then sometime in late February or early March, Chad Daybell, let me flip to that page, Chad Daybell retained Mark Means and paid a sum of money to him to represent his wife, Lori Vallow. Mr. Means entered his appearance in Lori Vallow counsel on March 4th in case CR 33-20-302 as co-counsel with two other attorneys who no longer represent Vallow. Later that month, on March 21st, 2020, attorney John Pryor began representing Daybell. Mr. Pryor previously confirmed that representation date to Magistrate Judge Eddings, although no written notice of appearance had been filed as of that date by Mr. Pryor because Daybell had no case pending against him at that time. Subsequent to Mr. Means entering his appearance, establishing his representation of Vallow, and also after the date Mr. Pryor indicated he represented Daybell on April 28th, Mr. Means communicated to the public through social media that he represented Chad Daybell. The communication state, this office represents him. We're not going to go through all of that. Further, Mr. Means emailed Prosecutor Rob Wood asking him to provide a press release stating that Mr. Means represented Chad Daybell and to direct investigation efforts related to Daybell or Vallow to him. Mr. Means also published press releases in the camera inquiry. In its in-camera inquiry, the court also received a phone call recorded from the Madison County Jail. The call demonstrates that on April 28, 2020, Daybell and Vallow spoke to one another while Vallow was in custody. During the phone call, Daybell indicated that Mr. Means was Daybell's attorney, and Daybell also knew that Mr. Means was concurrently Vallow's attorney. That Mr. Means represented Vallow at that time, it is also clear, as noted by the previously referenced notice of appearance filed in the case. Daybell also stated he was eventually going with the other guy, ostensibly referring to Mr. Pryor. After that call, on or about May 1st, 2020, a bail hearing was held in Vallow's case. At that hearing, Mr. Means represented to the magistrate judge that he represented Daybell as well as Vallow. We've been playing that video for 2 years now, wondering why that wasn't going to be done. Thereafter, on June 9th, 2020, a search warrant was executed on Daybell's property that led to the location and recovery of the bodies of Vallow's two children. The state submits that upon law enforcement's arrival at Daybell's property, Daybell called Mr. Means and asked law enforcement officers to speak with Mr. Means about the warrant. It is undisputed that Daybell called Mr. Means. However, after its in-camera inquiry, which simply means its review, not in public, inquiry of Daybell, the court determines that there is a dispute about the content of the call. Daybell was arrested that day in connection to the ongoing investigation into the death of Vallow's children and charged with felony counts in case CR 22-20-755. Then on or about June 30th, Fremont County Magistrate Judge Eddings inquired of Mr. Means whether he had ever represented any co-conspirators listed in the complaint in Fremont County case 22-20-0838. Mr. Means denied that he had represented anyone other than Vallow. His position was unpersuasive, and Judge Eddings found that Mr. Means had represented both Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow Daybell. Judge Eddings ruled that there was a conflict of interest stemming from Means concurrent representation. However, Judge Eddings concluded that given the nature of the tenor of the specific charges in this case, the conflict was waivable, provided the defendant furnished valid waivers to the court. Judge Eddings expressly stated his order accepting the waiver was limited to the proceedings in 22-20-0838. So the judge didn't believe his representation to the court and basically said, yeah, I don't believe you, but I'm not going to embarrass you in front of everybody. We've just been waiting for this. But do a waiver. Try to do a waiver. Court continues. There is some question about the validity of the waiver Mr. Means furnished to the court. Ultimately, it is not dispositive of the issue of conflict in the present case and need not be discussed further at this time. On March 2nd, 2021, Mr. Means filed a request for Vallo to be evaluated pursuant to Idaho Code Section 18-211 and submitted the bill on the examination to Fremont County. The state challenged that action because Vallo had not been declared indigent. On May 21st, 2021, this court determined Vallo was unable to pay for the evaluation and Vallo was declared indigent. On May 24th, 2020, Fremont County Grand Jury returned an indictment charging Chad Daybell and Lori Vallo, Daybell, as co-conspirators in the death of Tylee Ryan, J.J. Vallo, and Tamara Tammy Daybell. The charges for murder in the first degree, the maximum penalties of death. On May 26th, the defendant appeared in magistrate court in Fremont County for an initial appearance. Daybell appeared with his counsel, John Pryor, and his case was set out. Before Vallo was set to appear on the record, the court determined Vallo had a pending Idaho Code Section 18-211 evaluation and that because her competency was in question in another case, the state's request for counsel to be appointed would not be considered at that time. On June 8th of 2021, the court found Vallo not competent to stand trial and remanded Vallo to the Department of Health and Welfare for treatment to attempt to restore competency. On July 27th, under seal, the state filed its motion objecting to the appearance of Mr. Means in the case and raised several issues, including the concerns that Mr. Means was not death penalty certified counsel and that as a declared indigent, Vallo had a statutory right to appointed counsel. Accordingly, court appointed James Archibald to serve as co-counsel to Mr. Means while the court asserted the conflict issue raised by the state. Now, why is that interesting, that paragraph right there? One, the prosecution knew there was an issue. They knew he's not competent nor qualified, and the court agreed ultimately as we read on. But remember, the prosecutor has just as much interest in protecting the record and making sure the defendant's rights are protected so that you don't wind up doing this all over again years down the road. It's surprising, though, that this took so long for the record to develop. We're talking, this is back June 8th is when all this really kind of started. And even before that, going back to March, and we're still doing it. So the order continues. Acknowledging the Vallo's case was stayed on account of her treatment to restore competency, the court nevertheless held a hearing where counsel for both Daybell and Vallo were present. On September 8th, 2021, and ordered Daybell to appear for an inquiry to resolve the conflict issue. Let me see if I can get a better picture of this. To resolve the conflict issue, Daybell and his attorney prior submitted to the court on October 8th, 2021 for an in-camera inquiry. Meanwhile, Mr. Means has continued to file pleadings in Vallo's case 22-21-1624 as sworn declaration signing his name under penalty of perjury to attest to the fact that Mr. Means has furnished to the court. Notably, Mr. Means filed a declaration motion on October 27th where Mr. Means conveyed information he obtained from his client Vallo as the declarant and swore under penalty of perjury that the veracity of the statements contained therein. All right, then the court goes on. All right, so this is the facts. This is classic legal writing 101, okay? It's called IRAC. You have the issue, and then, well, first you have to, let's take that back. You have legal writing. They teach in law school. It's IRAC, issue, rule, what's the law, analysis, conclusion. But it really should be F, IRAC, which is facts. And that's what the court did. It laid out all the facts. Now we're getting to the rule, right? Duty of inquiry. So the court then proceeds on legal authority. The court has a duty to inquire about attorney conflicts of interest when it is made aware of particulars of one. Whenever the trial court knows or reasonably should know that a particular conflict may exist, the trial court has a duty of inquiry. This inquiry is required when the court knows or reasonably should know that a particular conflict exists and is not to be confused with the court being aware of a vague, unspecified possibility of conflict. Haven't we been saying that all along? Apparently, Judge Eddings back in originally thought there was a conflict, inquired, and said, well, we can probably waive it. The court then continues. If the court determines that inquiry is warranted, the court's inquiry must be both searching and targeted at the conflict issue. Failure from the court to conduct an adequate inquiry can serve as a basis for reversal upon appellate review. And of course, he cites all this case law that he cites too throughout here. Then we go on here. Sixth Amendment rights. The Sixth Amendment of the Constitution guarantees a criminal defendant the right to legal counsel. Yes, it does. The right to counsel was applied to state prosecution for felony offenses through the incorporation doctrine. This right includes the right to effective assistance of counsel, which is determined by a two-pronged test. To prove ineffective assistance of counsel, the defendant must show that the lawyer's performance fell below an objective standard of reasonableness and, two, a reasonable probability that but for counsel's unprofessional efforts, the results of the proceedings would have been different. Case law demonstrates that an attorney conflict of interest can lead to ineffective assistance of counsel. This occurs if a defendant's lawyer actively represented conflicting interests and that an actual conflict exists, or an actual conflict of interest existed and adversely affected the lawyer's performance. Included in the Sixth Amendment right to counsel is the defendant's right to choose his or her counsel. However, while the right to select and be represented by one's attorney is comprehended by the Sixth Amendment, the essential aim of the amendment is to guarantee an effective advocate for each criminal defendant rather than to ensure that a defendant will inexorably be represented by the lawyer whom he prefers, which means you may have to make sure they're qualified. Representation of more than one criminal defendant in a case endangers special dangers which a court must be aware, and it could interfere with the effective assistance of counsel. The right to one's counsel of choice is not absolute, though it will only be disturbed under the most extraordinary of circumstances. Does this sound familiar? Scott Reich saying this over the last 2 years? Yes, it does. Thus, this court recognizes the defendant has a Sixth Amendment right to counsel and presumptively the right to counsel of her choosing. However, the court must also balance this right with the right of effective assistance, effective counsel, which can be threatened by an attorney's conflict of interest, as well as effective administration of justice through a fair and orderly proceeding. Then the court goes on to describe what the hell is a conflict of interest? A decision to grant or deny a motion to disqualify counsel is within the discretion of the trial court. The moving party has the burden of establishing grounds for the disqualification. Where a motion to disqualify comes not from the client or former client of the attorney, but from an opposing party, the motion should be viewed with caution. Rule 1.7 of the Idaho Rules of Professional Conduct states, a lawyer shall not represent a client if the representation involves a concurrent conflict of interest. A concurrent conflict of interest exists if, one, the representation of one client will be directly adverse to another client, right? Makes sense. Or there is significant risk that the representation of one or more clients will be materially limited by the lawyer's responsibility to the other client, right? Can't serve two people. A former client or a third person, or by the personal interest of the lawyer. Now, Rule 1.7b states that even if a concurrent conflict of interest exists, a lawyer may represent a client if the lawyer reasonably believes that the lawyer will be able to provide competent and diligent representation to each affected client. The representation is not prohibited by law. The representation does not involve the assertion of a claim by one client against another client represented by the lawyer in the same litigation, another proceeding before a tribunal, and each affected client gives informed consent confirmed in writing. That's a lot of stuff basically saying you owe a duty to the client. Yeah, it's not prohibited, but mostly you see that in civil cases. Rarely, if never, you see it in criminal case. The court continues, to proceed forward, the court must determine whether it knows or has a reason to know that a conflict exists, whether an actual conflict of interest exists, and if the conflicts exist, is it waivable in the present case? Analysis. Death is different. Okay? I've said this too. We're not talking a simple case of, you know, a little traffic offense or a DUI. We're talking a death penalty case. You want somebody that's had some experience doing some homicide cases, right? Maybe even a death penalty case under their belt. And that's why the court notes here, death is different, and cites the United States Supreme Court case law case. The duties of the trial court are many, but the overreaching duty is clear. Protect all parties' rights to a fair proceeding. Where capital punishment is a legitimate potential, the court's duty to protect a fair and orderly proceeding are unquestionable. The state has raised the issue of a conflict of interest in Mr. Means' ongoing representation of Vallo. The court has not taken these allegations lightly, nor has it been hasty to render a decision about the issue, instead conducting hearings, an in-camera inquiry, and striving in all aspects to render justice and protect the interest of all parties during these proceedings. Further, the case at bar is stayed pursuant to orders previously issued under Idaho Criminal Procedure 18-211 and 212 after determination that Vallo is currently not competent to proceed. Procedurally, this case is in its infancy, where Vallo has yet to be arraigned due to the incompetency finding and subsequent stay in the case. However, this case commenced with an indictment issued May 25, 2021, and thus the issue of a potential conflict has persisted for several months, notwithstanding the stay in the case. Further, while this case is currently stayed, the court has considered the regularity with which pleadings continue to be filed by the parties, and thus the court determines that the matter is ripe for determination at this time. Ooh, okay. This is basically, hey, this Means guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's annoying. He's filing documents in the case that are stayed. Like, there's nothing to do at this point. She hasn't even appeared for an advisement, an arraignment. The court continues, the court has reason to know that a conflict exists. The state has, on several occasions, raised the issue of its allegation of a conflict and brought the issue to this court formally through a motion filed July 27, 2021. The court held hearings related to an issue and ultimately conducted an inquiry analysis, an in-camera inquiry into what defendant Chad DeBell knew and or understood with respect to the possible conflict of Mr. Means' concurrent representation. Both defendants, DeBell and Vallo, through counsel, have acknowledged the issue, which was brought to the forefront of this case when it was determined by the court that an in-camera inquiry was necessary and was conducted. Thus, the court has well-founded reason to know that there is concern for that a conflict exists. And just jumping back here, we talk about the whole legal writing analysis, fact, issue, rule. They cited all the rules. Now he's getting into the analysis, applying the facts to the law. The court continues, an actual conflict of interest still exists in the case at bar, as found by Magistrate Judge Eddings in a related case. This issue has been thoroughly addressed in an earlier case brought against Vallo. This court has also additionally analyzed the issue and reviewed the record in regard to the conflict issue. Taking all of that into account, the court finds that the record demonstrates that Mr. Means, in his capacity as a licensed Idaho attorney, represented Mr. Daybell between April 20th and June 20th. The record is also clear that Daybell and Vallo are now charged as co-conspirators with multiple felony counts, including charges of first-degree murder, and that Mr. Means is Vallo's current counsel of record. Filing the indictment issued in CR-22-21-1623 and CR-21-1624 sets forth alleged overt acts relating to the alleged conspiracy between Daybell and Vallo that occurred on or between October 26, 2018 and June 9th of 2020, which time frame includes the time when Mr. Means represented Daybell. Thus, the court concludes that Mr. Means concurrently represented the co-defendant in those cases within the time frame of the alleged conspiracy. In previously determining whether there's an actual conflict of interest on account of Mr. Means' former representation of Chad Daybell, Judge Eddings held that given the fact that, one, the defendant had since retained separate counsel, and importantly, two, that the charges contemplated in this case carried a maximum penalty of 5 years of prison and thus did not rise to the, quote, serious nature, end quote, where a defendant could not rationally choose concurrent counsel, that the conflict could be waived in that case. The record reflects that Judge Eddings questioned conflicting information provided to the court about the date of the waiver and whether they had been properly executed. Judge Eddings emphasized that an acceptance of the waiver, even as dubious, was expressly limited to the case before him, and that should be a subsequent case or subsequent charges be filed with more severe penalties, the waiver would likely not be honored and per se conflict would need to be addressed. Per se, obvious conflict. Thus, nothing has served to cure the actual conflict, which is carried into the present case based upon Mr. Means' concurrent representation of Daybell and Vallo and the timing of that representation. It is clear that the defendant's previous cases arose from some of the same facts and occurrences that the state has alleged to be the root of the pending murder charges in this case, which indisputably elicits a heightened scrutiny given the potential for the death penalty to be brought herein. Further, the defendants were charged together in a single indictment in their pending cases and both charged as co-conspirators. Three, the court continues, paragraph three, given the maximum possible penalties associated with the charges in the conspiracy case, including the death penalty, the conflict of Mr. Means' former representations of Chad Daybell cannot be waived, and it triggers a per se ineffective assistance of counsel concern. Boom! Boom! Said it before. Said it 2 years ago. I said, why is this being allowed to continue? Like I said, the prosecutor has a duty to protect the record, to protect, really, to make sure the defendant also receives a fair trial. The judge also has to make sure that every side receives a fair trial. And so the prosecution was appropriate in bringing this motion to have Mark Means excluded as counsel. Let's read on what the court says in its order. The court is aware that both Daybell and Vallo proffered a waiver of the right to conflict-free counsel in 22-20-0838, where Judge Eddings found an actual conflict but permitted the waiver. However, the case now before the court are distinctly different and require a new analysis. Further, even were this court able to determine that a waiver offered here was effective as knowing, intelligent, and voluntary, a defendant's waiver is not dispositive of a conflict inquiry because courts have an independent interest in ensuring criminal trials are conducted within ethical standards of the profession and the legal proceedings appear to be fair to all who observe them. The court finds an actual conflict. Daybell indicated in the court's in-camera inquiry that he never believed Mr. Means was his attorney. He did, however, acknowledge that he had previously talked to Mr. Means and called Mr. Means when the search warrant was executed on Daybell's property. This occurred prior to the arrest and subsequent charging of Daybell for the murder of Vallow's children and Daybell's first wife. The acknowledged communication between Mr. Means and Daybell in conjunction with the previously noted representation Mr. Means himself made indicating he represented Daybell led the court to conclude that Mr. Means did represent Daybell, although the extent of his representation is unclear, because Daybell and Vallow are named co-conspirators, necessarily they have an interest adverse to one another, and each has a right to counsel who is free to zealously advocate for each of them independently without that ability being hampered by a conflict of interest. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like something Scott has been saying for 2 years? Not looking for an I told you so. I'm saying vindicated. We read on. The Sixth Amendment guarantees each criminal defendant the right to assistance of counsel unhindered by a conflict of interest. Case law cited, given these facts and the charges at hand, the court determines that even if waived by both Daybell and Vallow, the conflict would persist in this case such that Mr. Means' continued representation is untenable. Another consideration weighs into this decision. Capital charges are more than a mere possibility in Vallow's case. As such, Vallow has a right to death penalty qualified counsel if she is represented by a public defender. Mr. Means is not presently certified to represent clients in capital cases. Because death is different, this court must ensure that every critical stage of her case, she is represented by counsel who is able to zealously and competently advocate on her behalf if and when Vallow is restored to competency. The court could conduct an inquiry into her interest in waiving qualified counsel. However, until such time, this court's duty to protect her rights remains. The court has determined the best protection for her exists in the appointment of death penalty qualified public defender, and on August 6, 2021, appointed as co-counsel attorney R. James Archibald. Hello, court did well in that regard. The decision came in part because of the request of Mr. Means, who had been Vallow's privately retained attorney, for a finding of indigency. Further, her commitment to the Department of Health and Welfare carries with it a presumption of indigency that further leads the court to determine that it was necessary to ensure the order appointing Mr. Archibald on August 6th as co-counsel in this case. And this is where the good stuff's coming. Finally, the very actions taken by Mr. Means raise questions about his ability to continue his representation of Vallow. Concomitant to a conflict analysis is an analysis of whether the decisions of counsel demonstrate their ability to uphold their duties to clients, past and present. Mr. Means has potentially made himself a witness in this case by filing multiple pleadings in the form of declarations containing factual assertions of Mr. Means submitted under the penalty of perjury. This is good. That unusual manner of practice has further caused the court to be concerned about the effectiveness of Mr. Means' representation of Vallow in this case. Also of concern is a possible intentional and unintentional waiver of Vallow's attorney-client privilege, where Mr. Means has submitted to the record purported facts from statements Vallow made to Mr. Means under the umbrella of the privilege she enjoys while she has been deemed incompetent to proceed. This is precisely the situation that the ethics rules caution against, where the rules stress that lawyers should avoid becoming witnesses in their client's case. An actual conflict exists in this case due to Mr. Means' former representation of Daybell and the timing of the representation. and DeBell's waiver is insufficient to overcome a risk of harm in allowing Mr. Means to remain counsel to any party connected to this case. Additionally, Mr. Means' practice of submitting declarations under penalty of perjury have called into question his ability to competently and effectively represent Vallo going forward, despite the pending stay in this case. Finally, the court is balancing the rights of Vallo's counsel of her choice and her present inability to be thoroughly examined to ascertain whether she could knowingly, intelligently, meaningfully waive her right to counsel, right to conflict-free qualified counsel, given the potential of a penalty of death she faces in the crime she is charged with much cautiously act to protect her rights on balance, because the conflict questions should be addressed by trial courts on a case-by-case basis, where the court takes individual situations into consideration and determine whether the defendant's right to counsel threatened by competing interests. The decision of the court is to remove Mr. Means as counsel to and to continue the appointment of R. James Archibald counsel in this case. And then conclusion, right? Got to have in the Iraq analysis, facts, issue, rule, analysis, conclusion. For the foregoing reason, the state's motion is granted. Mr. Means is hereby disqualified as of today's date from representing Noreen Vallo Daybell in Fremont County Case 22-21-1624 and all matters substantially related thereto. And then the certificate of service that went out to all the prosecutors and all the defense attorneys. We'll take out their email addresses there. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. Breaking news coming to you this evening. And what true crime channel brought it to you first? I hate to say it. Well, not hate to say it, but not trying to brag, but it was us. That's amazing. We did it. We brought it to you in its entirety. Sorry to have read it the entire time, but I think that the facts, the analysis, and the conclusion of law by the court is necessary. And it really raises all the issues that we've been talking about for 2 years. It goes directly to, there's a conflict. I don't see it as a waivable conflict. I don't think the court, obviously the court concluded it wasn't a waivable conflict either. And then on top of that, basically the judge says, I'm concerned about your competency. You have made yourself a witness by filing all this stuff saying this is factually true, this, and not having another witness to back it up. We've talked about this. This is why the other day we had, you know, remember a lot, what, 2 weeks ago, we had Mark Carlson, an investigator for us. We don't do anything without an investigator. I don't go interview witnesses. I don't go retrieve documents. We have investigators do it because you cannot be a witness to a case. Otherwise, you get disqualified. And now Mark Means, the biggest case of his career, poof, gone. Now, obviously, you know, there were issues. I didn't think he was qualified to do it. But the reality of it is really that he shouldn't have been on this case from the beginning at all. Yes, you have a right to counsel of your choice, but you have to have effective competence counsel. Hey, thanks for the super chat there, James. Great job reading that. Sorry, I was getting a little tongue-tied there at the end. And grab a quick sip of water as well. So I guess the next question is, and I don't think the court would entertain it, but I wonder if he's going to file a, what's the word I'm saying for it? Maybe going to put the, what's the word I'm looking for? If he's going to file a motion to reconsider, file another declaration under penalty of perjury. Judge, you got it all wrong. You didn't consider this, this, and this. I think, Mr. Means, if you're listening, if somebody's listening that knows Mark Means, just tell them to let it go, okay? I mean, we went through this analysis. God, I can't even remember. I wish I knew the date. I know we keep like a list of all the videos and what we talk about. But I remember there's a date. I mean, I remember breaking down the rule saying, why is this guy not being disqualified now? I mean, and it was some time ago. And it just goes on and on and on. And there you go. It's unbelievable. Yeah, let's play that video again real quick just to show everybody.
The amount of resources that can be saved in order to allow that to happen. And given that I represent her husband, Chad Daybell, in the event that there's an issue there.
Mr. Means, have you ever represented any of the alleged co-conspirators that are set forth in the criminal complaint?
No, Your Honor, other than Mrs. Daybell.
Wow, right? Talk about a material misrepresentation. That's kind of stuff that can get you a grievance with attorney regulation there. And also it could potentially raise a claim for malpractice against Mark Means, where Chad Daybell could say, hey, I want my money back. I want my money back. There was a conflict. I'm sure you could find an attorney that says, yeah, I would never have taken that. You know, be qualified as an expert witness. Under the rules of evidence, you have competing conflicts of interest. Under the rules 1.7, yep, never should have taken that case. You could file suit saying, I want my money back. Just saying, maybe John Pryor needs a little more money for that death penalty defense. What do you think? I don't know. Wow. So, you know, I had on my little prep sheet here, I had all this other stuff written I was going to do, and then all this news broke. Tuesday nights are great because we've had more stuff break on the Lori Vallo case on Tuesday. Must be something in the scheduling order or something out there. So thanks for covering. I'll have to catch up on the vid as YouTube notified me an hour late. Yeah, sorry about that. Every Tuesday night we're here. Usually, unless I got something I got to just do for work, I couldn't believe it. But so Judge Boyce, you know, I'm starting to get a little worried about him. Not sure he had, you know, what it could kind of take to do that, so to speak. But let's take a look at a couple of these questions here. Now, Scott, we know you love your told you so. I'm not looking for an I told you so, but I'm just saying, I don't know. Maybe they've been watching Crime Talk. Maybe they've been like, hey, there's an issue. No, actually, this is pretty much basic criminal law 101. So they should have done it. Now, this was early on. T at Via 01. So who disqualified him? The court. About this time, Scott, you were never mean, just speaking the facts. Mark did not know what he was doing in a criminal case. Yeah, and that's what, but I took some heat. Remember, guys? Remember, Frank, Julie? I was getting, why are you being so mean to Mark Means? He's just doing his best job trying to make a living, you know? Give him some respect. I mean, there was even, at one point, somebody came up with a page to, I think it was like Mark Means' page. Remember, like, had my picture, and it turned me into a devil, and it was like a page from Mark Means. I don't know. We'll just see. Hey, Scott, have you ever heard there's been a body found near the area that Summer Wells? Nope, didn't hear that. Sorry, let's try to keep it here. Let's see if there's any more questions about it. I mean, it's pretty straightforward analysis. I think we, between the court's order and me trying to fill in the gaps, Mark Means disqualified t-shirt needed. That's true. We probably should do that. He was just mean. Now that excuse doesn't have to exactly. He doesn't have to go visit. I mean, unless he can't say, hey, I'm an attorney anymore. The best he could say is that I'd like to visit Lori Vallo. And my position would be, if I were Mr. Archibald, I would write Mr. Mark Means a nicely written correspondence, because lawyers don't write letters, we write correspondence. And the correspondence would say, "Dear Mr. Means, as you know, you're in receipt of the court's order dated December 28th, 2021, at or about 4:38 p.m. And as you know, you are still a licensed practicing attorney. Please do not communicate with my client, who is represented by counsel. You need my permission to have any communication with her whatsoever. Please do not do so directly. Please do it only through me." Because attorneys can't just go talk to people that are represented by an attorney. She is represented by counsel, Mr. Archibald, from here on out. That's the way it goes. Mark Means disqualified. And wow, I had so much other stuff to talk about. I guess the question is, should we go a couple more minutes and talk about some of the other stuff, or should we just continue to talk about Mark Means, or do we go directly to our Patreon show? Because, well, that's what, you know, our show on Tuesday night is. We do our, now it's a little over an hour show, and then we do our Patreon page where our Patreon members get a secret link, which reminds me, Frank, can you send me that link for the lovely Miss Kristen? And then we can have actual telephone conversations, and, you know, there's less people, so if you have questions, we can talk about that. And we get to talk about whatever they want because, well, it's their show. They're Patreon members, and they get to do it. And you can join up for a little bit amount of money. And you may say, well, Scott, what do you need be Patreon for? Well, you know, all this stuff, like playing videos, switching over to the Elmo here, so to speak, I wish I could do that, but no, that requires people, right? Julie got this hot off the presses. Frank was able to do all this, get it off. I couldn't do it. There are not enough hours in the day, and we couldn't do either our daily videos or a live, more than like, I mean, I guess I could do the live really quick, right? I just plug it in, but we wouldn't have all the nice stuff that we can do. It's just, I think it's just more professional than if I just tried to do it myself, but that's just me. Scott, what's tomorrow's hearing? 10 a.m. Motion to quash or modify subpoenas duces tecums. Well, those were motions that were filed, I believe, in the death penalty case regarding various witnesses, but the case has been stayed. So I said all along, you can't do anything. My guess, it'll be vacated. And since the counsel that filed that stuff is no longer on, right, on the case, the new attorney would have to decide whether he wants to adopt those or not. My guess is he probably won't, or it would be continued to a new date. Melonbug, I wonder if this is why two other attorneys withdrew from the case. They saw the writing on the wall about Mark Means. We may never know for sure, but my guess is that that would be something to do with it, I'm sure. I mean, wouldn't you love to see a transcript? Wouldn't you love to see a transcript of that in-camera hearing between the judge and Chad Daybell? "Well, I never really considered him my attorney, Your Honor. But I got a telephone call where you said you considered him your attorney. He's your main guy, right?" "Oh, Judge, you know how confusing things can get? You know how confusing these can get when you have all these cases going on and murder and death of children, etc. You don't really remember what I said." Well, fortunately, those jail calls, which is another thing, ladies and gentlemen, I tell us, jail calls are monitored. And we tell every client, don't talk about the facts of your case to anyone while you're in custody. They will roll on you. They will burn you. Trust me, I know it. I've represented those clients, okay? I know, it's just the nature of the business, so to speak. And you tell them, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Don't talk to anybody. Don't talk about the facts of the case on the phone with your loved ones. Talk about the weather. And I know, I get it, it's hard. You are in there for a particular reason, and the one thing you really want to talk about is why you're there, why you're not home, having a nice, loving Christmas and Happy New Year celebration with your family, right? Because you're in custody. But guess what? those calls are monitored, okay? They're monitored. They're recorded. Now, back in the old days, it was difficult to record jail calls. Like, they had all these things, and it was like reel-to-reel something. I mean, it was tough, right? But in today's digital world, it's like downloading a podcast, right? Which reminds me, if you can't watch us live, you can always listen to Crime Talk with Scott Reich on any of your favorite download podcasting apps. So that's how easy it is. That's how easy it is. You can simply download all the jail calls, right? And when your attorney gets discovery and the prosecutor turns over all these jail calls, do you think they're turning it over because it doesn't help us? I mean, they have to, right? But it means there's something there, and they can't wait for us to get it until they hear your client confessing or talking about something other than the weather, right? You can even say, man, my attorney says we can't talk about it. I've even told family members, don't talk about it on the phone. And the family members listen. They're like, I can't talk about it. But they always talk about it. And the defendant's own words are always the ones that come back and bite them themselves. Okay. Wow. We had a lot more to talk about. We may have to do it on our Patreon show. Can you believe that? Wow. We were going to talk about the 110-year sentence for the guy and how the court basically put it on hold, saying, I'm not sure we can do this just yet. Which, not saying I told you so, but I kind of said, I called it. I said, you can't do that. There's a statute. And the judge even said in the hearing yesterday for the trucker, this has never been done before, which is something that I said too. I've never had a prosecutor file a motion for reconsideration under the particular statute that is kind of a safety valve for the crime of violence sentencing statute. Never, ever, ever had a DA file a motion for it. And never, ever seen one where it's been granted. Now, maybe there's a case out there, but it certainly wasn't any of mine. And basically, the bottom line is that the court said, I'm not sure we can do this. You got better brief me on this, because there's no precedent for it whatsoever. So the old Rogel Aguilera Medeiros case, the 110-year trucker, he has a hearing back set back now on January 13th at 1 o'clock. I'll have to look at my calendar. Maybe I'll just go sit and observe it. I think it's going to be a WebEx, but we can't bring you WebEx. So what's the best thing? Well, probably be there in the courtroom itself. But who knows the way things are going these days? You just never know. And, of course, the Ghislaine Maxwell case, the jury continues to deliberate. I mean, today's Monday, so they had 2 days last week, two full days this week, and the judge kept them late so that they can deliberate because she wants to get them done. Why? Because they are concerned about COVID and having to make everybody quarantine. Can you imagine if everybody would have to quarantine, and I mean, they'd have to come back in like 2 weeks to deliberate? Oh my gosh, couldn't believe it. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time. We got to go do our Patreon show because we love our Patreons just like we love you all. But we got to go do our Patreon show. A couple of things before we go. Just want to thank everybody. Right before Christmas, December 24th, yes, we got our Christmas gift early. We went over 200,000 subscribers, so we want to thank all of you for supporting us. Obviously, we could not do that without all of you. Now, if you'd like to tell a friend, share it, let's get us up to 1 million. That would be fabulous. That would be fabulous. I mean, what's another 800,000 subscribers? Think we could do it by the end of the year? I wish. This would have to go super viral. But share it with your friends, because who gives the best legal analysis out there? Me. Who tries to tell you not what to think, but let's talk about how to think? This channel. Because we want people to think on their own and look at the law the way it's supposed to be written and applied, right? Apply the facts to the law. Do your analysis, just like Judge Boyce did, and try to make those decisions with neither passion nor prejudice, just the law. It's a little more difficult than you think it is sometimes. And then it really gets tricky is what happens when, if you do the analysis and it doesn't comport with what you thought should be the right thing to do, but you're trying to be intellectually honest about it. Makes you think, does it not? Yes, it does. All right, who else should I should thank? Obviously, our Patreon, all our subscribers here. Big shout out to Mama Pink, who sent a package to Miss Winnie the Bulldog. We'll give her a thanks on the Patreon as well. Always appreciated, but never requested. Thank you very much. All right. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. Before we go, as we head out, Frank, let's play that video one more time of Mark Means making the material misrepresentation to the court.
The amount of resources that can be saved in order to allow that to happen, and given that I represent her husband, Chad Daybell, in the event that there's an issue there.
Mr. Means, have you ever represented any of the alleged co-conspirators that are set forth in the criminal complaint?
No, Your Honor, other than Mrs. Daybell.